Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Talking Stafford Schools this morning, Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner with us this morning. Dr. Kisner, I have missed having you in studio. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
I can't wait to get back there. Good morning, and thank you for providing me this opportunity to speak to the community. Appreciate it.
Boy, it's great to have you on, Dr. Kisner. I can't imagine what you and all school superintendents, really anybody involved in school. A few months ago, I know you started off a presentation to the Stafford School Board, and you said, I remember you saying distinctly, throw out anything that you, any kind of preconditions or anything that you think about what school has been like. It's not going to be like that this year. And that really is what we're looking at.
Yeah, this is, this has, taking a pathway that, unfortunately, we don't know how it ends. You know, I was on the phone this morning with our school board chair, Holly Hazard, and one thing that I constantly remind the public when I do a presentation or make a recommendation to the school board, I'm very clear to note the date in which that recommendation is being made. Because again, today is July 6th, and I'll speak to you and the public about everything that we know on July 6th and what our planning is. But, you see examples throughout the country of, different changes of conditions as it relates to COVID-19. There's new guidance that comes out from either the health department or the Department of Education or the governor's office. So, it's fluid, but we do need to make decisions because the public, parents, teachers, they need to plan. This has been very disruptive. There's no question that, and I think in everybody's perfect world, we would be back like it was prior to March 12th when we closed. But unfortunately, there are conditions out there that are beyond my control, beyond the school board's control, and superintendents. And I say this because there's only 133 of us in Virginia, and we were given the opportunity to lead, and we get to lead when things are really good, and we get to lead when things are not as not going as well. So, my message has been consistent that the balance is trying to maximize instruction while minimizing health risks, and I think that's what every superintendent and school board right now is wrestling with.
And like you say, the thing that makes this so difficult, we don't know how long, and we don't know the future, and we don't know when there'll be flare-ups. And it's this isn't just a Stafford issue. This is every school system in the country, in the world, is dealing with this right now.
Most of the conversation the last month or so has been about reopening the schools, and we've been planning this for months. And our school system, Stafford, I think, has done a very effective job of incorporating different stakeholders, of teachers, administrators, parents, support staff, and so on, community members, in what it would look like when we return to school. What are the things we need to focus on? And we've concluded five major areas that had to be looked at. Equity. There are children that were struggling, up to March 11th. There's a high probability that they're struggling even more now. There's children with disabilities. There's children who are learning English. There's just children that this lost instruction time takes a significant toll on them. And then there's the emotional needs of our staff, our parents, our students. This disruption, again, when we closed in March, whoever imagined that we would, I never imagined, let's put it this way, that we were going to be closing for the rest of the school year, nor did I imagine that when we open up in August, we would not open up to a normal schedule. So, you know, this is not, you know, this is not a normal summer break. This is not spring break, Christmas break. So, you know, there's been a, you know, a huge emotional toll of isolation and people anxious. I don't know how other people respond, but I probably haven't had a night in months where I could truly tell you I've slept through the night. I get up, I think about this all the time. I'm responding to emails. I'm trying not to bother my staff that, and I need to say this, and I think hopefully every superintendent could say this. I've seen the best of people. I've had the most amazing administrative staff, the most amazing support staff. I've seen greatness in teachers, and I've seen a lot of parents and others reaching out and supporting our efforts, challenging our thinking, raising great concerns. So, and then the other areas that we quickly looked at, of course, was at the academic needs of all children. We looked at things that sometimes we don't focus on as much as, but social distancing on a school bus. I mean, that's one of the factors. Yeah. So, school buses are usually 60 or 70 children on a bus, and now we're supposed to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 feet apart or some type of variance to keep health to a minimum. And cleaning, I've learned more about cleaning supplies and cleaning machines and water fountains. One of my school board members, she's great in reminding me that our sinks, and we're telling our students and everyone that they need to wash their hands for at least 20 seconds with soap. And well, some of our sinks in pre-COVID, we don't want the sinks to be running constantly, because as kids turn on a sink and it could be running for 30, 40 minutes, an hour if somebody don't walk into that bathroom. So a lot of our sinks, like most school systems, have a period in which the water stops running. You turn it on, it stops running. You see this in a lot of, public places. Well, but they're not running 20 seconds. So now we got to go back and adjust our sinks. And technology. We've given out over 6,000 laptops. And I do want to thank, both the Board of Supervisors and School Board, because they realize that children, as we teach in a remote virtual world, we have two challenges in Stafford, and it's probably very true in Spotsylvania and other places that listen to your radio show, is that we could give out the computers, but that doesn't really help if you don't have the ability to get online. So we still have a lot of places in Stafford that we have to create hotspots. We got to create places where students can get on online. So, the challenges have been, and we've given out over 250,000 meals at this point, and we're still giving out meals over the summer. And the plan that we will have, discussed at our July 14th board meeting, the days the kids are not in school, we're still going to provide meals for them on the off days. So the logistics and the task have been, in one sense, overwhelming, but in a crazy way, and I don't know if this is the right word, but it's been rewarding in a way that I've seen people look at a problem as not a problem that we can't resolve, but as a problem that we could collaborate, work together, and come up with solutions. So again, I really have seen really good in people, and I appreciate that.
Stafford School Superintendent Scott Kisner here this morning. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into this and kind of get a feel for what where we're at and what's coming up with Dr. Kisner. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner with us this morning. Boy, Dr. Kisner, when you were talking about the sinks, it's just those kind of things that we don't think about. I had never thought about that, but I mean, I'm sure that there are hundreds of those kind of things that you could just walk around a school every day and find things.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, again, when you're faced with a challenge, or you know, then things that you take for granted, you know, vending machines. You know, I was talking to a colleague of mine at another school system, and they're removing all their vending machines because, you know, you touch it.
You touch it.
A lot of children touch it, and a lot of adults touch it. You know, I would say this, Ted, that my experience so far with the public has been pretty much what I anticipated. I have, you know, parents and probably staff that fall completely at both sides of the spectrum, if I could use that term. You know, those that believe we should absolutely not return to school until a vaccine has been, you know, created and people are 100% safe, and then others that believe, you know, we need to be at school 5 days a week, and this is more important than the risk of somebody getting ill. So you are trying to understand everybody's point of view. You know, we talked, I remember many months ago, and this is probably a bad analogy, but it goes again of the thinking that superintendents have experiences is when we make snow day decisions. I get, you know, the reaction that, you know, either he's overreacting or he's underreacting.
Yeah.
But I understand this is a huge burden. You know, one thing that school does well, regardless of what people may think about the quality of instruction or the test results or the conditions of the building, is we do custodial care very well. And this is what I'm recognizing. And I understand that being a father of four children that are older than school, K-12 age now, that the loss that I think is causing the most disruption in people is the loss of having their child supervised in a safe, caring place. And that's what public school employees do, be it the secretary, the bus driver, the teacher, the principal, the cafeteria employee, the list goes on, is that you know, you should know that when your kid wakes up in the morning, the minute you either drive them there or the minute they get on a bus, that there's going to be a responsible, caring adult supervising your child until they get home. Well, right now, that's being disrupted. And a lot of parents have to go to work. A lot of our teachers and employees are parents. So, you know, there's been a lot of reaction. But if I had to put the different reactions in different categories or silos, the one that's probably been most painful for people is this notion of, well, what do I do with my kid when they're not in school? And, you know, so I do want to give Lisa a recognition, great recognition to our local YMCA. At the elementary level, you know, they have committed to being there from 6 in the morning, or maybe 6:30, but they're going to still do the before care,
yeah,
and they'll do the aftercare program that they have done. And then for our staff, which is important, because if staff can't come to work because they got to watch their children, then we're compromising all the children. So during the school day, you know, the YMCA will be available at different sites not every building, but enough buildings where staff could bring their children to one of those sites, and there'll be a level of supervision. But then there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other children that, you know, I realize will not have that level of supervision. So one of the things that, you know, I've asked, and the school board has been terrific, is, you know, we got to make decisions sooner than later because people need to plan accordingly. So, you know, some of the other emails I've gotten from parents were, I'm pretty much either I understand what you have to do, or and I agree or disagree, but whatever you do, please do it sooner than later, so I could make the arrangements. And so where we are right now is I presented to the school board pretty much three options with a preference for one option. So one option, and this is the preferred option, is what we're calling Plan A. And that pretty much, if I could just simplify it, have students in school 2 days a week for 5 hours a day. And well, let me just finish this off, and then I'm just going to talk about some of the changes. And then 2 days a week for another group of children. Pretty much the classrooms will have about 50% of the children in school at one time. And that's, again, mainly due to the social distancing guideline. And I know people have said to me, geez, this is just guidelines. You don't have to follow it. And you know, and there is truth to that. But, you know, when a child or a staff member gets sick, or when somebody comes to our school that was tested positive for COVID-19, and maybe they were not aware that they were, positive until a few days, once school started, people's reactions are going to change greatly. People are going to say, did you take all the necessary steps to minimize the spread of the virus? And so, you know, guidelines, fine, you know, but these are not guidelines that are coming from educators. These are guidelines that are coming from the health community. And I even recognize within the health community, there's different opinions of what the guidelines should be. But Virginia has charged the Virginia Department of Health, working with the Center for Disease Control, to create the guidelines. And, you know, it would be, in my opinion, irresponsible to not follow the guidelines. And, you know, if there's been anything that has been disappointing, although I have said I've seen a lot of positives, and this may sound political and I don't want it to, but I just have to say what I think I always do. This has turned into a little of a political discussion nationally. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. People watch the news. They mm-hmm. listen to the radio shows. They pick up the newspapers. So the school systems are not exempt from that. So you have, you know, people with different beliefs of the COVID-19, and I get that. But there is only one person that is provided the opportunity to be responsible for the school system. I work for a school board, so they could choose not to accept my recommendations. But at the end of the day, I am, you know, the chief executive officer and have to provide direction and guidance and hopefully confidence to our 4,000 employees and 30,000 students and thousands of parents. The other option would it be 2 days for a group of children, 3 days for another group of children. Following week, the two-day group of children would have 3 days, and the three-day group of children would have 2 days. That actually initially was very attractive, but then it did not give our staff enough time to plan for the virtual learning, the remote learning, the online learning.
Mm-hmm.
So the days in which children are not in school, they will have they'll have different lessons, learning modules that they could do, you know, at home or online. And you have to give our staff time to plan. You know, if you're working in front of children 5 days a week, you know, then how are you going to plan? You know, these the teachers are only, you know, human. They can only have so much energy. And a lot of them are parents themselves. And then the other option, which is not a standalone option, this option can happen with A or B, and we'll just call it C. There are some families, and we have a survey out now that needs to be completed by Sunday, is I just want my kid to learn 100% remotely, online. I don't want them in school. And there's different reasons for that. Some children are at risk. They have some health conditions, so their parents don't want them at school. That's remarkably understandable. There's other families that just, you know, until a vaccine is discovered and is out there in the medical world, they don't want their kid back in school. And others, you know, they may, it's a personal choice. So those options are out there, and we'll learn by next week how many parents want either option C, which is 100% virtual, or a hybrid, which is a couple days of face-to-face and a couple days of virtual.
Well, I can see where just you explaining these in the last 10 minutes, my head feels like it's going to explode with all the different options and all the different things. I can see where this is for you, for the school board, for the team around you that's working on this. This is serious stuff, and it's you want to do the best you can.
Well, you know, let me just add one thing. There is going to be a group of children. It could be children with disabilities. It could be, you know, children that are higher risk of learning, that they could be in school, you know, maybe even 5 days a week. So I just want to put that out there. So you are right. You know, I get, and I am not exaggerating. If anything, I'm probably minimizing it. I get dozens of emails a day and a lot of great questions. Sometimes the answer is not known. You know, I love chess. You know, I've been playing chess maybe since I was I grew up across the street from PS214 in Flushing, Queens, and there's a little park, our parks in New York are cement parks, so
yeah.
Benches, and you know, there was chess tables that were cement. You could play checkers or chess. So I've been playing chess since you know, probably age 8, and so. I bring it up is because with chess, if you you play chess, you understand you have to anticipate 3, 4, 5, 6 moves
yep.
down, you know, if you want to have any success. So I'm, you know, in many ways, this experience is bringing me back to the playground of PS214 as I'm trying to anticipate. But even then, you know, conditions change. So every Tuesday and Thursday, the state superintendent has a meeting with all the superintendents of Virginia remotely, and he often invites the health department, the Virginia Department of Health, and other people to participate. So tomorrow will be an example where we'll have another meeting, and they provide, you know, updated information. And then I do want to give another positive shout-out to the Rappahannock Area Health Department, because they've been a great partner. They, you know, meet with the local school divisions and, you know, review local data and some of the local options. So the conversation, you know, has been good in many ways, because no one should be doing this in isolation. You know, you need to reach out. I'm learning constantly by participating on different webinars and talking to my colleagues really across the country. And I was very fortunate, I was asked by the state superintendent back in March or April to co-lead, along with the superintendent of Hampton City Public Schools and the National Teacher of the Year, the statewide task force on recovery, opening up the schools again. So that experience help me better understand more of the challenges and really some of the solutions.
Dr. Scott Kisner here. We're going to take a quick break, a much shorter break than we usually take at this time, and return and continue to talk about Stafford County Schools and Dr. Kisner's thoughts on where we go from here. We'll be continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:33.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner, our special guest this morning, as we talk about what is going on. Now, the school's going to start a week later than you had initially on the calendar.
Right. So Stafford was initially going to open up August 10th, and the school board amended the calendar to open up the 17th. Our staff will still return the time they were supposed to, but this will give our staff more opportunity for collaboration to plan for the school year. And we also want to use the week of August 10th as an opportunity to invite parents in so they could see how the classroom will look. They'll see we're going to have a lot more like hand sanitizing stations. We're going to have different signs. We may have a yellow line so people walk, you know, one way and then one direction and then the other way, you know, another direction dividing the hallways. And, you know, one of the other piece of information we're trying to gain from parents that we hope they'll return by next Sunday is how many children are going to use the school bus. Because, again, our plan is to have about 24 children on a school bus. Again, a bus usually can have up to 70. Usually ours have 60 to 70, so that's obviously a significant reduction. So we need to learn, you know, who's going to be on the bus, who's not going to be on the bus, and we want to use that week of August 10th to have our bus drivers do some trial runs. One major change we made, which I know some people were not happy with, is so I said originally, I've always said, and I said it on June 15th, that our first group of children that we would focus on would be our elementary children. Elementary children, despite the developmental stages they're in and so on, struggle the most with remote learning. You have to have a parent basically sitting right next to them. Their attention span is different and so on and so on. So our elementary student population is our largest student population. And, of course, that means we have the most buses that pick up elementary children. But currently, our elementary children are the last ones to come to school and the last ones to go home. Well, I don't need to tell anybody about Stafford traffic. So what we wanted to do is in the morning, the first thing in the morning, our elementary children would be the first one to be picked up. We still need to do multiple runs, but we would pick them up, get them to school, come back, pick them up again, because we can only have 20, 24 children on a bus. And what that does is it helps maximize that they'll get their 5 hours of instruction. And two, you know, elementary children, I'd rather not see them waiting at bus stops alone. I'd rather not see any child wait on bus stops alone. But if, you know, if I had to select a 7- and 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, you know, compared to a 15- to 18-year-old, you know, I'd rather have the high school student waiting at the bus. Because once our school division, which is a whole nother conversation we could have, we need to revamp. We had a transportation consultant do a pretty comprehensive study of our transportation system, and then COVID hit, so it kind of didn't get the attention it deserves. but we'll go back to that, soon. But we, we have a bus a schedule that needs to have more staggered times and so on. But anyway, so high school and elementary flipped, and make a very long story short. So high school will start later, end later. And I hear, a lot about, parents are saying my high school kid watched, it's funny, like all of a sudden every high school kid's watching their elementary kid, and every high school kid has a job after school, and I get it, parents who are not supportive and staff are not supportive, will let me know why they're not supportive. But our decision was mainly on two areas. One, academics, so we could get the elementary kids in. And second, safety, not having, because again, once the buses go, and if there's a hiccup with the first run, then the second run is delayed. If there's a hiccup on the second run, then the third one is delayed. So that was probably the biggest change that we made. Each school, each level will have 5 hours of instruction, which again, I'm not here to compare, and a lot of school systems have not yet shared their plans. And those that have shared, I haven't, well, maybe now I have seen one, but there aren't many that are offering as many hours as we're planning to offer for instruction. Many, and my original discussion with the school board on June 15th, was 3 hours. And then the school board, and I definitely agree with them, they said, come back. We like our kids to have longer days of instruction. So by having longer days of instruction, you have to adjust your bus schedules. Again, social distancing is the challenge that every school system in Virginia and really across the country is facing, because the social distancing, minimizing the spread means that people have to be far, far apart from each other. And the recommendation right now is, 6 feet or, when possible. So sometimes it's not going to be possible, and sometimes it will be possible. But we're going to stay as close as we can to that 6 feet.
Dr. Scott Kisner, the Stafford School Superintendent, with us this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The special needs children, have you come up with any plan for them?
Yeah, so a couple things. One, we're actually going to have children this week, children with special needs, start a summer school face-to-face. So we submitted plans to Department of Education, and we're following all the health guidelines. And so a certain group of children, not a large group, but a certain group of children, children with more involved disabilities. And it's important to remind ourselves that there are certain children in every school system, but I'll just talk about Stafford, that we could have maybe 3 or 4 adults for 5 or 6 kids. These kids have great needs. They have great physical needs. They have great cognitive needs. They have great health needs. They have eating needs. They have toileting needs. And, their parents are amazing. Their parents, obviously love their children. Their parents are doing what they can do, what they need to do. But, parents also need a respite. When you have 4 or 5 adults, working with children, you want to recognize that children with disabilities, they have an individualized education program. So there could be, when we return in August, certain children that may be in school 5 days a week. And there's a process that, what's called an individualized education plan, an IEP meeting. And they may decide that for a certain child or group of children, these kids need to be in 4 or 5 days a week. And if that's what they decide, then that's what we'll do. And there's also other children who are English learners. There are children that are at the high school level in some career tech CTE classes that you really can't do it virtually, not you know, not, I mean, you could do it to a certain degree, but they need to be, you know, in front of their machinery. There might be some lab work. So we are going to have certain groups of children, numbers of children that will be in school more than I mentioned earlier before.
Boy, like you say, just so many facets to this. There are just so many, and again, you can't even look down. You can't even look a week into this of what you may be dealing with. I even think, as you discuss this, I am sure that schools are not. You've talked a little bit about how schools are going to be set up. I'm sure some teachers who have used certain rooms or certain rooms that you've used for certain things also probably get changed around now because you need the space for something different.
Oh, that's a great point, and I want to thank the teachers now because I'm going to thank them a lot when they get back. So, in order to accommodate as many children in a classroom as possible, and also keep the distance because, again, 6 feet. Need to be followed as much as possible. So we had to remove some tables. We had to remove some equipment. Teachers, what I love about the lower grades, you know, when you see all these kids sitting on the rug and the teachers sitting on a chair or a rocking chair or whatever and reading to kids. And, these kids sometimes can't keep 6 inches apart from each other. How many times, Johnny, get your hands off Sally and something like that. And well, now, things are going to change. And I have to be very aware of the safety needs of our staff because, the thing that I'm not going to debate the science because that is not my field. But I'm not going to be dismissive of the science either. So, a lot of our children, they live with obviously adults, and they could be living with grandparents, and they could be living with higher risk people, like people with diabetes and some other diseases. And so we have to mitigate the health spread. Let me just say this to everybody who is helping me understand the science and telling me to either dismiss the science or embrace the science. What I will just say this, we are talking a lot about opening school, but there is unfortunately this, and we had this before we closed for the summer. I mean, closed for March, April, and May and June. We had a case in North Stafford High School that we informed the community. We had, a positive case at one of our middle schools that school community was informed. So I hope I'm wrong what I'm about to say, but I just want to put it out there. We may have a situation multiple times where a staff member or a parent or a student is tested positive. And there's a whole process with the Department of Health that we have to coordinate with on informing others, doing some level of tracing so we could help identify people who are higher risk because of contact with that person. And we may find ourselves at times of closing our schools or closing a classroom or closing the whole school system. So for planning, we have to plan for so many scenarios. So right now, what we're talking a lot about and what school divisions are talking a lot about and people are reacting to is the opening of school. But I need to tell the listening audience, we are having great levels of conversation about starting and stopping and starting and stopping because you see it. You see it in the private sector. I think there was a Chick-fil-A somewhere down in Fredericksburg that had to shut down. Mm-hmm. You see bars that are shutting down and you see, amusement parks that thought they were going to open are not opening. The point being is school systems are not going to be immune from those challenges. No one knows. And this is probably the only thing that maybe the science needs to be a little honest with people. there isn't a situation where schools have been open. Now, in Europe, Israel didn't work out well. You know, I know that firsthand because my daughter taught there. Still there. She's coming home next week. So we don't have any data of, at least in the United States, let's just stick with the United States for a moment, where now we're going to bring back 30,000 children back into schools and a few thousand staff members. So what I'm suggesting respectfully, sometimes it should be very fair to say we don't know, because sometimes that is really the answer. Because until we have data, and I always have been one that tries to make decisions based on more facts than emotions, we really don't know. So we don't have schools in the United States, especially schools our size. You may have some private schools and other schools that have been open. But we are now going to bring back 30,000 children either 2 days a week, 3 days a week, maybe some up to 5 days a week, and thousands of staff. So we're gonna take the steps necessary to minimize the spread, reduce the health risks of children and adults, and also try to provide a level of quality instruction. It's a challenge.
Dr. Scott Kisner, the Stafford School Superintendent here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner here. Dr. Kisner, I always talk about how I like having you in here, and we have a great relationship. Just hearing you talk for the last hour, I mean, Stafford's in good hands, and I think these are difficult times and not easy for anybody. But thank you for all that you're doing.
Appreciate it. Thank you. What can I tell you? The public, I work for the public, and when you're in a visible position like I am, you accept that people have strong emotions and feelings. And I never did. July 1st, I started my 22nd year as superintendent, and you don't stay 22 years as superintendent if you take things personal. So I understand people, react, and, maybe sometimes people don't use the kindest words when they talk about me, but I understand that people, get frustrated on different things. I do want to say a couple of things real quickly. So on our website, and it's not very hard to find, we have different sections of all our plans. We link to the state reports. We link to the health department guidance. We update it constantly. Every 2 weeks, I was doing it every week, and then I'm now doing it every 2 weeks, and towards the latter part of July, I'll go back every week. I write a letter to all the staff and parents. All those letters are on the website. The school board chairman, chair and I, did a town hall meeting last Monday. We're going to do another one this upcoming Monday. This will be our third one. We did one back March or April. This opportunity, Ted, is another opportunity. I've done a lot of chats with teachers and parents. I've done Zoom meetings with two mom and dad multiple times. I've done conversations with, teachers and parents over the telephone, students. So I'm trying as much as possible. I wish there was more time to do it, but sometimes it just isn't, to be as transparent and listening to people, not debating people, because change is difficult at any time. But at the end, I think most people look at change on how it impacts them. So I'm at least trying to explain the why behind the change. and not question their motive. And part of me would wish people wouldn't question my motive. You know, this is just a time in which we don't have a playbook that I could pull off the shelf. I could do most crises, pretty much have had experience, but I can't say in my 21 years as a school leader that I've experienced anything like this. So my obligation and responsibility to the community is to stay informed, keep people informed. But as I started this with the radio show, is again to do two things at the same time, which is not easy, is maximize the instruction or the learning while at the same time minimizing the health risk to our school community. So sometimes they align, sometimes they don't necessarily align together.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner. We will talk again soon, Dr. Kisner. Thanks for all you do, and hang in there, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this.